Let us pray. Lord, may the words that I speak bring you praise. May the words that I speak be seasoned with love and grace. May the things, O Lord, that I choose to say bring glory and not shame to your name this day. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Psalm 98. Hear now the word of God. Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown his saving power. The Lord has announced his victory, has revealed his righteousness to every nation. He has remembered his promise to love and be faithful to Israel. The ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praise to the Lord with harp, with a harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord the King. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with fairness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. This unknown psalmist wants us to sing a new song to the Lord, for the Lord has done great things. As I think back over the last year, last week was a great week because that was the first week, first Sunday in over a year, where in worship we actually got to see and hear someone in person sing. It was great. It made me miss us all singing even more. In a strange way, when we're all able to sing, we will all be singing new songs, won't we? Because some of those songs we have forgotten. Some we have remembered, but we'll have a reason to sing a new song. In the midst of this, it made me wonder, what makes that psalmist think that we want to sing a new song? Really, do we? In my 6.6 decades of life of worship, except for that 0.4 of a decade that I was in college and in the far country and didn't go to churches often, what I have understood is that for the most part, people of churches really don't want to sing a new song. They want to sing old songs, don't we? I do. I really like singing old songs. But if I look at this in the context of this scripture, the psalmist tells us to sing a new song because of all the things God is doing for us and in us. Does that mean that if I'm not willing to sing a new song, I'm really not aware of or acknowledging all the things God is doing in my life? It makes me wonder. It truly does. It makes me wonder. Is it important? And then strangely, I started thinking of Dolly Parton. You laugh. It made me laugh. Dolly Parton must really see all that God is doing in her life, because she's written, published 5,000 songs. Did y'all know that? 5,000 songs. Charles Wesley, the brother of John Wesley, he wrote 6,500 songs. And Fanny Crosby, who was born in 1820 and died in 1915, and at 6 weeks of age went blind, she wrote 8,000 hymns. God must have been really doing something in their lives for them to be able to write that many new songs. Are we willing to sing new songs? What I've learned in my life, I guess, is from being in choirs and choruses and being a part of productions and operas and musical comedies and all sorts of things, that is all about learning new songs. You get ready for a production or a concert, and your director, he'll hand out, or she'll hand out all these pieces of music that you're going to have to learn, maybe have to memorize, and you begin to learn it, and it's not easy learning new songs. And when you finally get where you learn it, you know the dynamics, and you know what the director wants, and you know what the conductor wants, or what the person who arranged it wanted in it. When you sing it, and you sing it maybe in a concert 30, 40 minutes long, and the next day when you go to class, they hand out 8 to 10 more new pieces of music. Is that what we're supposed to be doing? Willing to sing new songs? Well, today at our 11 o'clock service, I shared that we're going to be honoring them, and I'm going to act like y'all are graduating from high school today. Isn't that a glorious thought? Just think about it for a moment. And so there are some things that I think that if I look back over my life, there are some things that I wish I had known, because if I'd have done them, my life might have looked like a new song. And the first thing is that the graduates need to know, and I guess we all need to know it too, and that is, you don't know it all. There's nobody who knows it all. You might think you know it all, and there are a bunch of teenagers who think they know it all. But my dear friend Billy Becton, who never went to college, I don't think he ever spent a day in college. He did graduate from a small high school in Jenkins County, Georgia, down in Millen, if you've ever heard of Millen, Georgia. He used to tell me when I was working in the apparel industry, because I was telling him, I don't know as much as these people, or I didn't know as much as them, and they might not listen to me because I don't have the experience or the education they have. And he used to tell me over and over again, everybody's ignorant, just the subject's different. And so for a high school graduate, you need to know that you don't know it all. And in not knowing it all, you need to tone it back a little bit. And if we toned it back a little bit, people around us would think we're singing a new song. The second thing I think we all need to learn, and I think teenagers especially, when I look at my life, is that we really truly need to honor our mothers and fathers. Do I hear it? Amen? The number of times my dad told me I was a know-it-all, it sounded like a broken record. And he used to say, you are a know-it-all, and nobody likes a know-it-all. Because, see, I thought I knew it all. And I learned that at a very young age. Some people don't learn it till they're 15 or 16. I learned it at 12. There were so many things that I knew that my parents didn't know. And the older I got, till I was graduating from high school, and I graduated from high school, and I really knew that my parents could not tell me anything. There was nothing they could tell me that I didn't already know. If they decided to tell me something from what I already knew, I knew that they didn't know what they were talking about. And so that's the way my life went. And then I went to college, and I really knew it all then, because neither of my parents went to college. And so when I finished my first quarter of school, I had already taken more classes and knew more than they would ever learn. And I thought that. And then I graduated from college, and I had a job, and I got married. Got married in April, and by December at Christmas, you would be surprised how much smarter my parents got. They still weren't as smart as me, but they had gotten a lot of education. They had really began to agree with me on more things. And then our daughter Allison was born. And by the time she hit her second birthday, I came to the conclusion that my parents knew more than I did. Because the things that I used to remember that they did took on a whole new context. I saw the things that my mother did that my dad did not do. And then I saw my dad do things that my mother didn't do. But all I knew was that my brother and I, we did a lot of things. And then I learned something in that context about sacrificial love of parents for children, their children. And I realized the thing about honor thy father and mother. And the older I get, the more gratitude and love that I have for my parents for all the things they did without so that I might have. And so for those high school seniors, this is the part they really need to think about. Probably right now, if you would honor their father and mother at this point, their mother and father would hear a different song, a new song coming from their children. But this is the part where it really gets interesting, and this is for other people a little older. It's really a message of, it's a prophecy for high school seniors. It's something I learned in the early 1990s. I was taking disciple Bible study, and we were in the Old Testament, and we got to either Exodus or Deuteronomy. Anyway, we were learning about the Ten Commandments, and the scholar on this video said these words. He said that honor thy father and mother, most people like to think of that as young children honoring their young parents. That's the way I always thought about it, because that was beaten into me from an early age, and especially during those times when my parents didn't know anything. But the scholar said, honor thy father and mother has not so much to do with the way we honor our parents when they are young parents. It has to do with adult children honoring their elderly parents. Because that is a journey and a season of life that's so much harder than the beginning. Because it's in that time where adult children are honoring their elderly parents, there is going to be a role reversal. Well, the parent becomes a child, and the child becomes a parent, and the child that becomes a parent will be doing for their parents what their parents did for them when they could not do for themselves. And so when you get to that place in your life, you need to be able to remember all the sacrificial love that your parents had for you and have it for them. If we all honored our fathers and mothers better and more, I think it would be a new song that we were singing. I really do. The third thing I think we need to understand, and they need to understand, is that you didn't get here by yourself. They didn't get to graduation by themselves. Bob Melton, former scout master here at 477, when they have an eagle court of honor, he has a ceramic or some kind of turtle that he sticks up on top of a fence post. And he always says, if you ever see a turtle sitting on top of a fence post, you know that he didn't get there by himself. We didn't get here by ourselves. Sometimes we think we did it all ourselves. We think that, and we think it's because of something that we have, some charisma that God just blessed us in a way, or we don't even think God did it. We're just unbelievably smart. It didn't come from our parents. It didn't come from anything. It's just that we are gifted. We are absolute geniuses. And nobody helped us along the way. But nobody gets to where we are without help. Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 and 18 says it this way. My power, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors and is today. We didn't get here by ourselves. And that's what we all need to remember. Parents, grandparents, our friends' parents, friends of our parents, Sunday school teachers who were here every week when they weren't and when you're not, youth leaders, teachers in school, parapros, custodian, coaches, coaches' wives, parents who cheer for you. All those people along the way give so that they, everyone else, can achieve things they would not be able to achieve without someone's help. And most of us do it because somebody did it for us. And so in the midst of that, there is a little bit of humility. A little bit of humility that needs to be expressed sometimes in our lives and in the lives of teenagers. Because if we show just an ounce of humility in the midst of all of our selfishness, it'll sound like a new song to people around us. The fourth thing also has to do with being grateful. I did some calculations. The people who are graduating from high school this year, and if this pandemic disappears and it doesn't affect anything in next year, what it means is we will have some classes where one-third of their high school career was affected by the pandemic, where either it affected their ability to attend school, how they were educated, the things that they were not able to do that were canceled completely or were modified in such a way that you would not be able to recognize it for what it was meant to be in the first place. That's a lot. There are senior trips and trips abroad and all kinds of things that were canceled. We all have been there, amen? There are things that we wanted to do that we couldn't do. And it's easy for us all to join into that song we love to sing when we get a little down. That song that goes, nobody knows the troubles I've seen and nobody knows my sorrows. What I have come to know is that when I begin to sing that, and when our youth begin to sing that, we need to stop long enough and say, stop. Open your eyes, look around, look at all the things you have, not all the things you weren't able to do. You see, because it's not very far from here, 2 miles, 2.5 miles, 3 miles. There are people graduating from high school, they aren't worried and sorry about not being able to go to the prom or not being able to do this or not being able to do that, because they're still wondering if they'll have a place to sleep tonight, if they will be able to have food to eat, if they will have transportation. Will their mother or their father have a job? And so sometimes in our lives, we get in this sad place of where we are and woe is me, and we fail to look around and see all the people who have it so much worse. Because when you look down and look inwardly, you'll think you're the worst, you have it worse than anybody on the earth. And that's not true if you live in Dunwoody. And so, in the midst of this, I want to ask us all to be more grateful. Because in being more grateful, we will be singing a new song. That's what I think. Don't act like you know it all. Honor your father and mother. Know you didn't get here by yourself. And there are always people who have it worse than you. And if we're a little bit more grateful, I'm convinced the song we will be singing will be a new song. May it be so in me. May it be so in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.